Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues is the name of this show. If you got a better name, then submit it. I don't really mean that, but we are here on American Family Radio every day talking about today's issues, thus the name of the program. So we appreciate you joining us. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed DiTagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Walker Wildman is here with us. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Walker, we got to stream.
Yeah, we're live streaming on Facebook as we do Monday through Friday. And also, if our listeners would like to go back and listen to shows, maybe yesterday's show or last week's show, they can go to AFR.net and listen there.
Although they would be listening to yesterday's news.
Yeah, yesterday's news, but hey, the show may be entertaining.
Which would be a great name for a band, I think.
So then it's called Yesterday's Issues?
Yesterday's Issues, yes. Yes, Yesterday's Issues. So go listen to, or something, or as they say, or something like that. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, is here, and OneNewsNow.com. And by the way, OneNewsNow.com continues to grow, doesn't it, Fred?
It is just exploding. I tell you what, the number of visitors to the site through the election campaign and following up, because that story certainly hasn't ceased, has just been amazing, and we really do appreciate it.
If you want news every day from an accurate and Christian perspective, in other words, we don't censor out Christianity like a lot of groups do, nor do we try to put it down like a lot of liberal media organizations do, then go to OneNewsNow.com, and we have a daily news digest that we send out via email. You can sign up for that. You're not going to get six emails a day like you do from some groups. You get one, and that one email every day has the top news items, right, that we've covered.
It is just loaded with the day's news, and the stories particularly are featured from our team of reporters, like you say, Tim, who are Christians and give you the news from a Christian perspective.
Right.
If there's a story about abortion, it's going to be told from a pro-life Christian perspective.
Right.
And that stands it apart from other news agencies in the country.
I think we're just flat out superior to all the other news agencies anywhere in the universe. Some people think that's an overstatement.
Yeah. It's close.
But I don't think so. Yeah. OneNewsNow.com. Now, what are we talking about here today on this program?
Well, tell me if you've not heard of this kind of story before, where a political leader believes he can go around the elected members of the legislature, the House, and expand laws all by himself.
Might that be? Who comes to mind? I don't know.
Let me see.
What about it, Ed? I'm trying to think. Guapo.
All right, let's get the Jeopardy theme going here.
Okay.
All right. No, but I'm not talking about President Barack Obama. I am talking about the Democratic governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards. Now, here's what he's trying to do. He tried to expand an anti-discrimination order in Louisiana, so that this order prohibited discrimination in government and state contracts based on sexual orientation and gender identity. In other words, if you're bidding on a contract, you're a private contractor, and you're a Christian businessman, bidding on a contract that involved a state government contract, you had to agree what he wanted. You had to have a non-discrimination policy that said you're okay with homosexuality, you're okay with transgenderism. So that's what the Democratic governor of Louisiana tried to do.
He tried to do that by executive order?
By executive order. Just bypass.
Sounds familiar.
It does sound. Well, anyway.
He has a phone and a pen.
Yeah, that's right. Now you are linking to someone, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. But yesterday, a state district judge, Todd Hernandez, said to the governor, I'm sorry, you can't do that. It was thrown out yesterday by a judge who said the governor exceeded his authority. And the decision obviously was a victory for the Republican Attorney General of that state, Jeff Landry. And Landry said it tried to establish a new protected class of people that doesn't exist in law and that lawmakers refused to add. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. So, we have a court decision, which really makes sense.
Right.
That the governor of a state or the president of a country doesn't have a right to make laws or add to laws all by himself, mm-hmm. which we know President Obama did. You take Obamacare. Mm. Obamacare was passed by the Democratic majority. Remember, the president started adding things?
Yes.
To it all by himself?
That was unconstitutional.
Changing dates.
Changing dates.
The law said, January 1st this year for this, 2010 for this, and he said, no, we're just going to push
unilaterally.
It back. We're pushing it back.
That was unconstitutional, what he was doing. Of course, that's what we've talked about many times here. The court said
state
no,
district
you can't
judge.
Do,
can't
is,
do that.
Let me ask you this. The bigger issue here is, Ed, I want you to comment on this. Here's the push, and I'm surprised the Democrats didn't make sexual orientation a part of the civil rights law the 2 years they controlled Congress from 2008 to 2010 with President Obama in office. Of course, I say that. At that time, President Obama was against homosexual marriage, end quote.
Right.
You remember that?
Even though secretly he was in favor of it, he had admitted.
But his public stand was he was opposed
to
it. Right. He was a bigot at the time.
Yes.
But anyway, he started to evolve. But here's my question is there's the push going on by the LGBT community, the activist community, I should say, and their friends to make sexual orientation, and I guess gender identity, part of civil rights, non-discriminatory law,
right?
And like the governor here in Louisiana tried to do. Is that going on?
Oh yeah. Well, they want to do that, and here's the reason.
They'd like
why.
To do it federally.
They would like to do it federally. Federal law, right now, has a list of specific categories. Where you cannot discriminate. So race, age, sex.
Gender, I think.
Well, sex is included.
Does that mean gender?
But it has been defined previously in the law and by judges as being you can't discriminate against, men and women. Now, the activists from the homosexual community want to expand that to include men who believe they're women, and vice versa.
On a particular day.
On a particular day. But those, people with disabilities. So there are specific categories that federal law prohibits discrimination against people who fall into those categories. At this point, homosexuality, sexual orientation is not included in those federal statutes, but the activists want it included because it's a very powerful tool.
What would it mean? Let me ask you this. What would it mean if it ever were included?
Well, it would mean, for example, that Christian colleges would have to fight, just using an example of how this could be applied, mm-hmm. would have to fight for their lives, basically, if they received any funding from the federal government in terms of Pell Grants or college loans to students. They could lose that if Christian colleges did not change
their policies.
Or
they could be fined or
If you are seen to be discriminating against someone on the basis of sexual orientation.
Even if your theology teaches that it's a sin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened out in California with John MacArthur School.
Right.
And some of the others.
That was a state law, though.
It was a state law, but it was the same type thing.
It would be used the same way.
Well, I think they were trying to make the Christian schools out in California, and I'm talking about the state of California now, not the federal government. They were trying to make the schools in their state comply with transgendered laws, basically. Mm-hmm. So they were saying to Christian schools, you gotta tell us how you're making it safe for transgendered to use your campus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the schools were going, wait a minute.
Federal contracts, any work that soup kitchens, if they received any federal money, those kind of things would all be in jeopardy.
Now, that's not law now.
Right.
But they would like to see the LGBT activist groups would like to see that become law, mm-hmm. federal law.
And the irony is that the Obama administration was neck deep fighting for Obamacare, and they, I imagine, did not want to use any of their political capital during those first 2 years of the Obama administration to work on laws like that. They wanted to pass Obamacare. Of course, they passed Obamacare, and that caused them to lose the House of Representatives. So any hope for that kind of federalizing that non-discrimination law for homosexuality and transgendered, that they lost their opportunity. So it's ironic that that law and all the push, all the political, you know, work being done to pass Obamacare actually prevented them from right. passing this you know, federal law.
You know what's offensive, honestly, is the whole civil rights movement to get the Civil Rights Act of, I think, 1967 in place.
65.
All that hard work. Now the left wants to come in and they want to equate lifestyle choices with skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I was someone who was alive
minority,
during that time, a minority,
yeah.
I would be offended that someone wants to equate someone's skin color with their sexual lifestyle choices.
A lot of African Americans are offended yeah. by that because you're talking about something that's I remember Colin Powell one time was quoted. He was asked about this. This is back in the 80s or 90s when he was over the Pentagon. Wasn't he over the Pentagon? Secretary?
He was. No, this was during
Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Don't
he
ask,
was chairman
don't
of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the he was appearing before Congress, and they were deciding whether to let Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I think it was, homosexuals into the military, which up to that point was forbidden. But they asked him about this, and this is what Colin Powell said at the time. He said, well, skin color is benign, okay? It's who you are.
And unchangeable.
And unchangeable. Homosexuality is a choice of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in order to be a homosexual, you engage in that activity. I mean, that's how you define who you are. So he was saying at the time, as Walker, you're talking about, mm-hmm. It's offensive for people who are of a minority skin color here right. in America to be equated with a behavior. Mm-hmm. That many people find immoral. So mm-hmm. anyway, all right, what else you got in the news there?
Well, let's kind of stay on with this scene. This is another court decision, but this one occurring in New Jersey. An appeals court in New Jersey has turned down a bid to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former employee who claims she was fired by a Catholic school because she's married to a woman. All right, so you had this teacher at this Catholic school, the Paramus Catholic High School, and she let it be known that she is a lesbian, and she got married. And
before she was hired, she let them be known?
No, it was after.
It was afterwards. So, but
excuse me for interrupting you, just yeah. to be clear. So she switched to being a lesbian after she was hired by the Catholic school, or she said, oh, after she was hired, oh, yeah, by the way.
Yes,
I am.
It was a by the way.
Yeah,
they
didn't.
So she sort of tricked them.
Well, I don't know what kind of questions they ask, but she did not reveal in advance that her lifestyle was
against Catholic teaching.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So a lower court had ruled in favor of Kate Drumgoole, is the name of the lesbian question here. And the court ruling to allow the case to proceed to determine whether state law or church tenets apply. So what this appeal court ruled yesterday is
that the state appellate court in New Jersey?
That's correct.
Okay.
That state law trumps the tenets being taught by this Catholic church run school. So, and this people need to be paying attention to this because this is the agenda of the LGBT
yes.
crowd, that there are no doors that are close to them anymore. The story we've just been talking about, what the pro-homosexual crowd wants is that you can't do contracts with a government.
Right.
If you're a Christian, if you're a Christian construction work owner and you have the state has a contract out to build a road or do paving, okay, you can't bid for that contract because you're a Christian and you stand against homosexuality. So in this case, Catholic Church says homosexuality is a sin. But this woman comes along and says, "Okay, I'm letting you know I'm a lesbian, but I'm going to use the state law that says you can't discriminate me against me on the basis of sexual orientation."
And the judge agreed with her?
And the court has agreed with her.
That's so, the way these laws are used.
Yeah.
And that's the threat to religious liberty,
right,
exactly,
in this country that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What a lot of these LGBT activists really want, and their sympathizers on the far left, they want ultimately to be consistent with their beliefs is to shut down Christian churches who subscribe to the teaching that homosexuality is a sin. That's if you could ask them, if you could give them truth serum, a lot of them you don't have to give truth serum to. They'll tell you straight up, yeah, we want to get rid of that homophobic bigoted type of quote.
Well, it would be you quit preaching against it, or you have to shut your church down.
Are you shut down?
Well, yeah, I think they would go after like tax exempt status.
No, I'm not saying that they don't do it incrementally, like you're saying. And I'm not saying a lot of them would be so brash and bold as to come out and say what I just said.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that's
the end game.
That's the end game. If you follow their logic,
well, the guy in Georgia. They're looking up his sermons.
Exactly.
They're looking up his sermons and firing him because of his sermons.
Kelvin Cochran, fire chief there, also in Georgia.
Because they're calling it hate speech.
Right. That's where they want to go with this. Mm-hmm. If they could, they would say, shut down American Family Radio. They are They promote hate speech because they believe homosexuality is sin. Therefore, they don't belong in America. That's where a lot of these groups and these people who subscribe to their ideology think about Christians who believe this. Well, what was the quote from the Harvard professor?
It was Mark Tushnet, Harvard
professor. What did he say?
Well, this is
about
after
us?
The Obergefell decision.
People like us.
Yeah, he said that the culture war is over. He's talking about secular progressives. We won. And those who are opposed to our values, we should treat them the way the Allies treated the Nazis after the end of World War II. And that is, you make no compromises with them. You just tell them what they're going to do, mm-hmm, and they got to do it.
Well, and remember, there's the case in New Mexico of the Christian photographer? Mm-hmm. What the judge said out there, compliance mm-hmm is the price of citizenship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You bow the knee or you get out of the country. Or we'll mm-hmm put you in the country's jail.
Well, you're just not going to participate in the public sphere, so you're not going to have a business.
Well, and this goes back to this is in line with what Hillary Clinton said. These people say these things out loud a lot of times. Hillary Clinton said that, I'm paraphrasing now, but I basically got it right. She was asked about this question on homosexuality, and she said, listen, people are just going to have to change their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to have to change and adopt, or I don't know what "or else" means, but I guess we're sort of finding out. But that's so. I guess for the Catholic school there in New Jersey, back to your story, Fred, they'll have to appeal this to probably a federal court, and to decide whether they have a right as a Christian organization to determine whether they can set lifestyle boundaries on their employees or not.
Yeah, it's a critical case.
Because I'm sure the it's the same thing with like we've talked before. What if you're also telling them the Catholic school that you can't, if for example one of your professors wanted to shack up with a woman, that is live outside of marriage together, and the school came and said, listen, this you can't teach here and be engaged in adultery like this, and then I guess you could go to court and say, you can't set a lifestyle agenda for your teachers. We don't care if you are a Christian university.
And imagine the freedom that this lesbian would have in the classroom to say, I think the church's teaching on homosexuality is wrong. Here I am.
And the church must pay her.
Yeah, and the church must pay her to do that.
According to this judge. Was this one judge or was this?
It's appellate court.
Okay, well, we'll see where that goes. That's the kind of thing that's going on, though, around the country. The clash, as Ed mentioned. What else you got?
Well, maybe on a slightly lighter note, those are two serious stories. there's a confession that has been made in New York by a Muslim woman.
That's pretty serious, too.
Yes. A Muslim woman who said, who claimed to be attacked by Trump supporters on a New York subway, has now confessed. She made it all up.
No, this was in the news.
Last
few days, wasn't it, Walker?
Yeah. Well, she made the accusation a couple weeks ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have this Muslim woman who in New York who says she was at a subway station, right?
Yep.
And that three
Trump supporters,
three Trump supporters, I'm sure they were white guys, right? Were they skinheads?
Well, that doesn't say here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But anyway, I'm being a little bit facetious.
That's
there
the narrative.
With that. But anyway, she says she said that three guys came up, tried to take her hijab off, that's her headdress, mm-hmm. and were they
calling her a terrorist and yelling Trump's name.
So here,
now that would be the first clue. That would be
right.
The first clue.
She's making this up.
When I was a police officer, wait a minute now, they're taking off your hijab.
They're not robbing you or anything. They're saying you're a terrorist, and they're going, Trump, Trump,
yeah,
Trump,
going,
Trump, Trump,
I'm
Trump,
a Trump, supporter.
Trump,
Trump. I'm a Trump supporter.
Well, you know, I don't know which media outlets cover this story, but that's fake news.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Right, right. She made this story totally up. And she confessed to this yesterday, and the police arrested her. New York City police arrested her.
Well, apparently, Fred, you were telling us this morning, was they had cameras
in the subway.
Yeah.
And first of all, okay, we don't see this happening on the cameras here. That's number one. They gave her all kinds of opportunity to recant her story, and she refused up to yesterday. And then finally yesterday, she admitted she made the whole thing up, citing family problems.
Yeah, that's what you do when you have family problems. You go out and make up an assault by three Trump supporters.
You know,
and she's arrested.
That's a normal reaction.
I had a fight with mom, so I'm going to make up a story about Trump supporters attacking me.
I will give thumbs up to the NYPD because they don't play games. They may have a liberal mayor and a liberal state, but the NYPD, they take their job very seriously.
Well, this is and I think I remember reading about a week ago that Muslim police officers in New York wanted to meet with Trump because of this kind of thing happening.
Yeah.
You know, that there was a rash of anti-Muslim behavior, assaults or sentiments. No proof of it.
Mm-hmm.
That really, in this woman, a lot of these left-wing stories about conservatives prove out to be false.
Oh, yeah.
And the damage is sort of already done in the media. I remember about a year and a half or 2 years ago, there was a African-American woman who was a professor at North Texas State University. I think it's called North Texas State or North Texas University. Anyway, it's in Denton. And she wrote an article in the Dallas Morning News claiming that she was a victim of racial profiling. And she talked about walking in her neighborhood and on an exercise. And she was pulled over by two white police officers and harassed and harangued just because she was black. So that made the news. Well, what happened was about a few days later, the police chief released a videotape of the incident, and it was nothing like she had described at all. It was the two police officers, white police officers, being very polite to this African-American woman who they didn't know. She was walking in the street with her headphones on.
Right.
And they were trying to warn her for her own safety. Mm. And there was nothing.
She could get run over.
There was nothing racial.
There was nothing racial.
There was nothing like that, like she had described it. So the way she had described it made you think that these police officers were terrible people. And had they not had the videotape, they might have lost their careers.
Right.
Yeah.
Based on this one woman's...
And the question to ask here, why do these people think they can get away with these stories? Why?
Why?
What has happened?
Because the media wants to believe them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct.
What,
giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want
a cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, that's families with an S, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. The anti-Trump hysteria that's gripping American college campuses has gone from laughable to downright dangerous. There are disturbing accounts of Donald Trump supporters being bullied by professors and brutally attacked by radical classmates. From the College Fix, we hear the story of Olivia Korn, the president of the Cornell College Republicans. She was shoved to the ground and assaulted, called names we are not allowed to say on the radio. At Converse College, a student was kicked out of class for objecting when the professor said Trump's election was as bad as 9/11. For the record, the Trump campaign did not fly jetliners into buildings, nor did they slaughter more than 3,000 people. Radical Muslims did that. And if a fully grown adult professor with a functioning brain cannot comprehend that fact, well, folks, they don't need to be in a classroom. The intolerance of those who preach tolerance is intolerable. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Walker Wildman is our Facebook guru over there. Walker, what have you posted?
Well, I posted the story about the Louisiana governor being corrected or struck down by the federal judge there.
Was it federal judge or state judge?
May have been a state
court. I think it was state court.
Yeah, okay. Over the LGBT, trying to add that into non-discrimination language. And then also we're Facebook Live, and I'm also posting the fake news story about the lady in New York, the Muslim, who claimed she was beat up by three Trump supporters. Turns out to be fake news.
She made the whole story up. And, the police in New York have arrested her because you can't file. You can't just make stuff up. And
the New York Post ran with the story. And the New York Daily News, Zuckerberg ought to pull their Facebook pages for the fake news that they're running.
Yeah. I mean, that. You know, it's interesting because we mentioned so many of these stories of supposed assaults by conservatives turn out to be bogus and made up. You remember the Michael Brown situation in St. Louis? Remember his friend was on videotape saying he was shot in the back like an animal?
And he had his hands up.
He had his hands up, don't shoot. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That turns out to be, he made that story, his friend who was hanging out with him, who was with him made that whole story up. Well, that inflames people.
Yeah.
And it's too late to apologize when the city's burned down. But anyway, we have stories like this.
One more thing. It's ironic. I was telling Ed during the break how these, like Hillary's out here doing a press conference at Harry Reid's retirement ceremony, you know, saying fake news caused me to lose the election, yada, yada, yada. Oh, they're the masters at fake news.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael Brown story is fake news. This story we're talking about here is fake news.
Well, where was that gay pastor? Was that in
San
Antonio?
I think it was San Antonio or Austin.
Did he claim it was a Walmart bakery?
Remember that?
Was it a Walmart bakery?
It was like a Whole Foods.
Yeah,
Whole Foods. That's what it was. That's right.
Yeah, he said they wrote a word on his cake that he
went by. A homosexual slur.
A slur. Yeah. And he said they wrote it on there. And as it turned out, he had to confess that
The store did not do that. The cake.
He did it.
He did it himself. And then, mm-hmm. Then he called the media to do a story on it. So it was supposed to be an anti-homosexual.
Yeah.
The irony was that the store is the guy who made the cake at the store was himself gay, I think.
Yeah.
It turned out backfired on them.
Yeah.
But the point was, it was another made up story to try to make and the media are all too friendly.
They picked right up on it, willing
to take these stories.
It matches their narrative.
It matches their narrative. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, one of the big issues in the Trump administration that is going to change from the Obama administration is the relationship that our country has with Israel. We all know how frosty the relationship has been between President Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu, who's the Prime Minister of Israel. Well, our next guest is Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi, who just recently returned from Israel and met with the Prime Minister, and he's on the phone with us from the state capital, Jackson. Governor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
We're doing well.
Great.
Hey, tell us about your trip to Israel.
It was amazing. You know, this is my third trip. And 3 years ago, when we first began to learn that our president was, in essence, turning his back on Israel, and if you remember, when Netanyahu came to the United States, the prime minister was there to speak before a joint session of Congress, and the president refused to invite him to the White House. And it refused to meet with him at that time, just basically ignored him and began to ignore Israel. And excuse me. And I believe that, of course, our relationship with Israel is so vitally important. And the trade that we have with Mississippi and Israel, we deliberately said, let's go to Israel. Let's let them know that people in Mississippi and across the South support Israel, support Netanyahu and what they are doing, understand that without Israel, the entire Middle East would collapse. But from a Judeo-Christian position, that we support the people and the struggles that they go through in Israel. It was a remarkable first visit, that first year meeting with Netanyahu and about 15 of our business leaders and government leaders. Last year, we spoke on the phone as I was visiting the Golan Heights. He called to have a brief discussion with, and this year we met again with not only Netanyahu, but the Prime Minister of Defense there. That is, in essence, their director of defense for the Knesset. And so very welcoming, amazing country to see. The Bible truly comes alive when mm-hmm. you visit the sites that you've read about since you were a child, and all of a sudden you are in Jerusalem. You are at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Sea of Galilee. Just a remarkable visit for not only, I think, as an opportunity for trade, but an opportunity for those of us that want to renew that faithful experience of being there in Israel.
Well, who else went? Were there any other governors?
No governors. It was strictly Mississippi. Look, I don't share this with other governors. We are there to do business. We have, just to let you know, the exports, since I've been going, since the 3 years that I have traveled to Israel, even in the past year from 2014 and 15, the latest numbers that we have, our exports to Israel have increased 27%, over 27% to $43.5 million of products that we export from Mississippi to Israel. Wonderful companies like Stark Aerospace in Columbus, Mississippi, an Israeli-owned company, and one that is we hope to have future announcements on regarding an expansion. Our military involvement, our National Guard, each year has joint exercises with the Israeli Defense Forces. They love coming to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. They love making sure that they can, for example, practice jumping out of their aircraft into the sea without mm-hmm. people shooting at them.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have that relationship, the Colonel Greg Michelle of the Mississippi National Guard that is in charge of Camp Shelby went with us and met with his counterparts to make sure that we continue that relationship. Raytheon, one of the finest and most important business partners that we have in Mississippi, employs roughly 700 people in Forest, Mississippi, making some of the world's most advanced radar systems that protect Israel with the Iron Dome, retrofitting their F-16s just now and F-18s with radar systems manufactured in Forest, Mississippi. So wonderful relationships for business, for culture. While I was there, I spoke at what's called the Next Tech. Their technology, their International Technology Summit at Ben Gurion University. That was a little intimidating for a governor in Mississippi to be speaking with some of the world's most advanced minds in the next tech generation. But I think quite a benefit for them to get to know the governor of Mississippi as a speaker at this international summit.
Talking to Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi, who joins us from Jackson, and we're talking to about his recent trip to Israel, his third trip to Israel. What do you think? Don't you think things are going to turn for the better now, getting back to our traditional good relationship with Israel now that Donald Trump's going to be the president?
Oh, absolutely they will. He knows, the Prime Minister Netanyahu, and they have to be very careful. One national leader certainly doesn't try to take sides in an election. And he was deliberate in saying, you know, we don't interject ourselves into the election. But he is looking very forward to working with President-elect Trump. He understands that there has been a chilling effect since the Obama administration towards Israel. He understands now the opportunity that he has with a new president, a president-elect, by the way, that has Jewish grandchildren, a Jewish son-in-law, a Jewish daughter. For the first time that anyone can remember in modern history, that has taken place. And so they understand this is going to be a great opportunity. And Tim, I just believe it's divine intervention. Yeah. If you look at what they're facing with the Syrians, with Hezbollah on the Gaza Strip, I went into the terror tunnels that were being dug by the Hezbollah to attack the civilian populations along the Gaza Strip. The Golan Heights just... there on the Syrian border, the constant threat that they have against them. But without this wonderful small nation that is there in the Middle East, you would see, I think, ISIS, ISIL, Hezbollah, all of those terrorist organizations come together to predominantly manage the Middle East as a terrorist region in the world. And so we are looking forward to even better relationships with them.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Governor Phil Bryant joining us. Hey, if I can change topics for just a minute, you tell me when you have to go. But you were talking about business and commerce. What are two or three things that governors around the country would like to see the federal government or the new administration do that you think would make America more business friendly and get the economy going the way it should? And also, I know this is a big question, but Donald Trump has talked about bringing I guess some people have estimated $3 trillion that are sitting offshore around the world back to America to get us roaring. Again, what do you have?
A couple of really easy things, and I've talked to the president-elect about this, is one, the overbearing, overburdened regulatory establishment that is the Obama administration, whether it is ETA or the Treasury Department, IRS. You look at every agency that has been manipulated by this president to come to bear upon corporations, companies, small business men and women across America. And so just removing some of those burdens threats. You know, a small businessman is just one lawsuit away from going out of business. And that lawsuit, the reason how it will work is some radical organization that believes it might be affecting global climate change would file a lawsuit against you. The EPA would come in and join in that lawsuit on that organization's side. They would say, yes, this businessman is violating perhaps some EPA standards that has recently been established. This poor business guy goes to court. He's having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal fees, and then maybe he's having to pay fines. So doing away with those overburdened regulations, some of which has been to be able to manipulate the social fabric. For example, saying you've got to have common restaurant. You know, we're going to order you to do that, and we're going to order school systems, even private school systems, to be able to do that. So go through every agency and look at the regulatory burdens and begin to get rid of this. Become energy independent. We don't need to buy oil and natural gas from anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. We just simply have enough production here in the United States to be totally efficient and totally independent when it comes to producing energy. That's number one. Don't buy anything else from anybody else. Secure the border. It just is, again, something that affects business. When you have millions of illegal immigrants that are coming into this country and taking jobs that should go to Americans, that's going to affect the economy. Those three things there could easily be done in the first 100 days.
Okay. Hey, one last question back to Israel. Any thoughts on Donald Trump has suggested that, I don't know his exact quote, I'm talking about the president-elect, that he would be in favor of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to the American embassy, I'm talking about, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Absolutely. First thing he needs to do. Is an easy move, and that shows, you know, the capital is in Jerusalem. It shows our belief that Jerusalem should be and is under the control. That portion that is under the control of the country of Israel should remain so, and I would encourage him to do so. The other thing I would encourage is, I know you're going, encourage Americans, everyone I see that say, I heard you went to Israel and I want to go, but I'm concerned. Look, you're safer in Tel Aviv than you are Chicago.
That's just the truth.
You're much safer there than you probably are in many large cities. So I encourage Americans to go, interact. Go to the Church of the Sepulchre. Let the Jewish people, the Israeli people, know that we are coming there to the Holy Lands, and we are going to continue to do so.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it very
much. Sam, thank you, buddy. Okay. Look, guys, y'all go and enjoy the trip to Israel. Okay. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi joining us from Jackson. He has not been coached on PC. I don't know when they're going to get to him, but he's in his second term. So I don't know if the PC crowd's going to be able to get him straightened out or not, Ed.
Well, no, he is far beyond that. Governor Phil Bryant's a straight shooter. And, I have no idea whether he has other political, plans or goals, but you're always going to get a straight answer out of our governor. I appreciate that about him.
Yeah, and Walker's got him lined up to be on our program today, and so we appreciate Governor Phil Bryant being on with us. You're listening to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment. You know, my understanding is that Israel itself states that Jerusalem is its capital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of the ongoing, controversies with the Palestinian people or what have you, only two countries have recognized Jerusalem as the nation's capital. All the other countries keep their embassies in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. In 1995, if I'm getting this straight, 1995, the U.S. Congress voted overwhelmingly to move our embassy to Jerusalem and thereby recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But successive presidents have not done so. Clinton, mm-hmm. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and so it's the, as far as I know, the only country in the world that is not basically allowed to choose its own capital and have other nations put their embassies there.
Right.
So it's a very, Israel is just one of those countries. Maybe it is just unique in every way because of God's purposes for the Jewish people.
That
will
be encouraging if Trump does that.
Oh, if he does that, that would be that. You know, we make fun of saying huge.
Yeah.
But that would be huge.
Yeah.
For the United States and maybe other countries,
and for Israel,
would follow.
Yeah.
You know, and move their embassies to from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Well, if you want to understand the complexities of the Israeli-Palestinian situation,
good luck.
How long do you have for me to talk to you about it? I've traveled to Israel over 20 times in my life, leading tour groups. I started in the 80s with my dad, Don Wildman, who led tour groups to the Holy Land since back to the 60s. So I understand pretty well the lay of the land and the different viewpoints on this issue, because when we go to Israel, we work with Palestinian and Jewish people. And I don't mean to sound like I'm talking down to people who, as if they don't understand the situation, but a lot of people don't understand. The Palestinian people are Arab, okay? Right. And they've lived in that area for a long time. So, and then you have the Jewish people who have their roots there. Obviously, look at the Bible.
Right.
Okay. Then, so when you say, but both are Israelis. Okay.
Yeah.
In other words, the Palestinian people in that area are considered citizens of Israel.
Right.
They have they're part of the parliament. They have representation there. They even serve in the military. But still there's this, and for most Palestinians and Jews, they want to get along, and they want peace, and they want to, live like we all do,
Right. We want to raise your
family. You want to raise your family. You want to have peace and prosperity, and not be, like what's going on in Syria, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Live that kind of life. So, but you have your antagonizers. You have your extremists who try to provoke things, and Hamas and Hezbollah, for example, are basically their mafia groups. They're like the mafia, and so.
Right.
They sort of, the Palestinian people who do believe in working with the Israelis and do want peace, a lot of them feel pressured by these groups to conform to what the Hamas terrorist mentality is. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So what I'm saying, this is going to probably go on for as long as mankind is around, as are other conflicts around the world. But it just seems like people, if I can switch a little bit here, it proves to me that the Bible's true. Because how do you explain the existence of a people that have been talked about since since back to early biblical times? I'm talking about the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, who still are here today. Name another group. Another ethnicity.
Well, that was kicked out of its own land for 2,000 years.
Scattered.
And then regained the land.
Maintained their ethnic and to some extent their religious identity, and then came back to that land.
Persecuted. Physically persecuted.
I may just be historically ignorant. I can't remember any other story that matches that one.
Right.
And it matches it according to the
right.
prophecies of
right.
prophets
right.
who said,
right.
this is what's going to happen to you, but
right.
you'll come back.
Right. And the fact that Israel was reformed as an official state in 1948 by the United Nations. And the United Nations is the most anti-Semitic organization out there today, almost. It's almost all the votes at the UN because there are so many Arab countries and anti-Israel countries, and there's one Israel, mm-hmm. they're always voted, you know, as being bad people.
Yeah,
it's an unfair. Most times, I would say it's unfair. But this is that's why America traditionally has been about the only friend of Israel,
mm-hmm. right,
in the world.
Well, and I'm reading this headline overnight. Some Congress in recent years has passed legislation that puts sanctions on Iran, which is a chief opponent of Israel. And
has
Iran's,
promised to wipe it off the map.
Their leaders have promised to wipe Israel off the map. Well, last night, somehow I don't understand the legal aspect of this, but from what I understand, this law or treaty or something was, this sanction was going to go in place whether Obama signed it or not, because Congress already approved of it. But by the president signing his name onto it, it kind of tips his hat to it, gives his seal of approval. Well, these Iran sanctions, Obama let this expire at midnight and didn't sign his name to it. And so, but that shows you that's an unfriendly act towards Israel when you take the side of a terrorist state like Iran.
It also, for example, I've mentioned this before. Again, this is where the intersection of Bible prophecy, if you will, and Bible history and modern day world events
right.
Become apparent for anybody who's willing to look at this, because there's no explanation for why Iran hates Israel. There's no traditional explanation for this. They're not border states. The Iranians are Persian. The Israelis, obviously, most of them are Jews. If you were to say, well, the Iranians support the Palestinians are Arabs. They're 1,000 miles away from one another.
They're not arguing over oil.
They're not arguing over oil or land. It's not a traditional rivalry, for example. So you just scratch your head and you go, what's up with Iran? Why do they hate Israel? Mm-hmm. Well, they hate Israel because they're Jews.
Right.
And they hate Jews because it's of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
How can anti-Semitism or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A hate for the Jews is biblical.
It's biblically prophesied. You know, the Bible talks about prophetically that Israel would be like a large stone that would, you know, cause everyone to stumble. The Bible also prophesies and names the nations that currently surround the nation of Israel and talk about a gathering of those nations to destroy Israel. Well, the fact that all those nations are Muslim, mm-hmm. You know, is really, I wouldn't have 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, before Islam erupted in the Arabian Peninsula in the 600s, you would have thought, well, why would all those nations hate Israel? Unite them in hatred of Israel?
Why is Israel a threat to?
And now you see, well, it's because they're Muslim, they're Islamic, and that is a religion that unites them because of the very words of their founder, Muhammad, in their hatred of Israel. That explains it. And you go, well, before Islam came, what would have been the explanation?
Right.
The Bible's filled with those.
The hatred for Israel and the Jews is supernatural. It's inexplicable any other way, in my opinion. Now, you might could argue the differences in Israel between the Palestinians and the Jews is over land. Okay, I could understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But this Iran wanting to wipe Israel off the face of the earth is almost like America going, you know, we want to wipe Chile off the face of the earth. Who's with me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so let's build nukes to attack Chile.
Chile's down there minding their own business.
We hate them so much.
Right. Why do you hate Chile? Well, we just do. Anyway, we'll be back after 5 minutes of news with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.